Chapter 1 The alarm chirped, disturbing his sleep gradually. It whispered to him through the fog, prodding gently like a cautious lover. When he didn't move, the alarm tried again, then insisted, and when that did not work, shouted as much as its little web of circuits would allow. Giles inhaled slow and deep, rolling over onto his back as he rubbed his face, stretching languorously. He stared a moment at the bedroom ceiling, as the alarm insisted. Eventually he tired of the noise and rolled over to slap it back to silence. He yawned and rose. The light was low and gray. He shuffled along the floor on bare feet to the water closet, shut the door, and turned on the light, a bright and hateful thing that reduced the features of the little room to flat white noise. He found the toilet through squinted eyes, performed the task his body demanded, flushed, and exited. He turned on the shower and turned the dial over to its hottest setting and then drifted over to the sink like an apparition while he waited for the water to warm. He squeezed a wad of toothpaste onto his brush, tapped the corner of the mirror, and began to scroll through the morning email, eyes mechanically refocusing from his reflection to a list of spam, bold subject lines of unopened promises parading along the glass. He dragged his finger over the mirror as steam began to creep around him like a fog, searching for the list's beginning. Two or three items appeared to be of some importance, or at least important enough that they rated a passing glance before being sent to the trash bin. Interspersed between spam and hate mail, he saw the same subject line repeated at various points of the list. Urgent. Please read immediately. He scoffed and deleted the entire inbox in a fit of rebellion. The random hate mail had long since ceased to bother him, and it seemed to him that no matter how far things advanced, there would always be spam bots configured with the lamest of attention-getting methodologies. Something buried deep within his mind found such a thought oddly comforting. He tossed the app away with a gesture, disrobed, reduced the temperature of the shower with a word uttered to no one, stepped into the stall, and began to brush his teeth robotically. He found Annalise downstairs in the kitchen, as he knew he must. She sat at the island on a stool, one smooth leg crossed over the other, munching thoughtfully on a bagel as she tapped at a tablet. It lay flat on the counter, and she leaned over it slightly, combating the glare of the kitchen window. The slow rising sun skimmed a dazzling light over the surface of the earth like a skipped stone, bathing the kitchen in golden brightness. It surrounded her in warmth, and she leaned toward that warmth unconsciously, like a cat. A single red-tipped finger probed forward to the tablet screen, alighting like a feline's hunting paw, sensitive whiskers spreading over the glass's invisible surface. She must have known he was there. He made no attempt to enter silently from the hall. She said nothing. Her neck stretched out so he could see around the glare of the sun, and with her hair pulled back, he saw the length and smoothness of it. Blonde hair stood out like burnished gold, and he smiled. "Morning, love," he said. He made for the refrigerator. "Did you find my note?" "Yes," he laughed as he picked over some fruit in the crisper. "Black belt, black shoes. All handled." He pointed down at his belt as if providing evidence. "You came home last night wearing a black belt and brown shoes. You think I was asleep, but I saw." "Sneak." "It won't do, baby. It's simply a no-no." Her voice trailed off, and he nearly didn't hear the last of her words. The television at the sink corner was on, blaring in its tone-deaf way about the long gyrations of the wide, wild world. "How can you read with that thing on?" he asked. He let the refrigerator door swing shut. She shrugged and tapped her tablet. "I like the noise." "Well, yes, but must you have all the noise?" A quadrant of talking heads on the television screen, piercing eyes, immaculate suits, yards of makeup, and gallons of hairspray. They shouted over each other frequently, shook heads in frustration, hurled barbs. It all made Giles feel queasy. "What are they on about this time?" he asked. "Something about China. There's breakfast for you, by the way. I scrambled up a couple of eggs. They're in the microwave. You can put them on your bagel with a little mayo." "Oh. Well, thank you, hon, but you know I don't have much of an appetite in the morning." She gave him a look somehow both frustrated and adoring. "You're too skinny, sweetie. Have the eggs." "Are you trying to fatten me up for the kill?"
Always.
He smiled, pulled one of the bagel halves she had left for him out of the toaster, and pressed down the lever to heat the remaining half. He returned the unused portion to the fridge, while the shouting people on the TV continued to yell right past each other.
A resolution from a toothless UN is worth less than nothing to the president.
Robin, can I just interrupt here? Robin, excuse me. Well, I think everyone on this panel knows, or I suppose I must amend that to should know, that the Chinese president is a largely ceremonial office. If we're going to try to discuss this here, should we at least not proceed from a baseline understanding? The common understanding that the General Secretary of the
Central Committee of the...
Well, yes, as I was going to say, the Communist Party of
President, Secretary, or whatever else, they don't care.
Well, how can you say that, though, Margot?
They don't. They do not. They never have.
Can I interject something here? Hang on a minute. I haven't finished. Oh, yes, I'm sure. I suspect you wouldn't finish given 5 minutes or 50.
Roger.
All right. Civility, please, ladies and gentlemen. Let's please maintain our topic.
Huh. Civility. Giles laughed. They wouldn't recognize civility if it served them tea.
Look, the point is this. What assurances do we have that all these new satellites are for communication?
Oh, you mean outside of their exploding telecom market and the recent meetings they held with...
Let us not forget the Charleston report, people, okay? Let's not forget the Charleston...
Look, David, you give me a nice fat paycheck and I'll find you any number of scientists and analysts that'll fashion any conclusion you like.
People,
hey, come on now, people, can we for a moment... Just a moment, please. Just a moment. We're all sidestepping a major point here. Suppose the report is correct. Suppose these are spy satellites or... And I can't believe I need to address this, yet such is the state of information today. Or suppose these satellites are weaponized in direct violation of all the treaties already discussed. What exactly can the rest of the world do about it, outside of the sanctions already mentioned?
Well, we can start by...
China owns 28% of America's debt, not to mention that of the various other countries. What do you suggest? A sanction doesn't go through without America's say-so. Everyone else in the Union is so gutless.
Oh, dear, Margot, please.
Peter, calm down. The point is that if we make a move on them, all they have to do is stop buying our debt. What are you left with then, folks? An economic collapse, that's what.
Do you mind if I turn this off, Anna? Giles muttered.
He stared uneasily at the television as if it was a table of vivisected body parts. She shrugged again and said,
Sure,
I just had it on for noise. You're here now. I'll take your noise instead.
He smiled.
Quite romantic. Oh, darling, I do think 2 years is enough to consider the honeymoon over, don't you?
He switched the television off, rendering the kitchen suddenly close and intimate in the absence of all that clamor.
It has not yet been 2 years.
30 seconds.
He said this last into empty space, and the microwave awoke to warm his eggs. He seemed to sense her eyes watching him. He turned to look at her, and saw this was correct. She regarded him coolly, elbow propped on the counter, chin rested in hand. Her eyes were mischievous.
What is it? Asked Giles.
She shook her head. A smile threatened to break along her pink lips. Lips thin like a ribbon with a doll's bow at the center. He saw her perfect teeth and understood that he might soon be making some form of reparation.
Anna?
Look at a calendar lately? She chided. Her voice was light and dangerous. He could feel it in his tendons. She could transition either to amusement or hurt without warning. He was being tested. He wanted desperately not to fail, but... She'd asked about the calendar. His stomach sank. He jerked his phone from his pocket and tapped the screen a few times while she waited.
Ha-ha! He crowed. You're trying to trip me up. Our anniversary is next month.
But you have something planned, of course.
She smiled. He froze.
Yes?
Uh-huh. Giles sighed.
Look, how do you know that I'm not putting on an act to throw you off the scent? You're not that clever, babe. Don't worry, I'm not mad. Yet. Just remember, whatever we end up doing has to be even bigger now since you haven't started planning yet.
Yeah, he said nervously.
Next month is rough, though. We're feeling a big upgrade. It'll be our biggest yet, spanning multiple cities.
That's fine, she said.
She returned her attention to the tablet.
I didn't marry your job, sweetie. I married you.
Yeah, he repeated. In his mind, he began to run through options. Maybe he would ask around for ideas at work. He was halfway through breakfast when the phone rang. Apologizing to Annalise, he tapped the screen. Hello?
Good morning, sir. Am I speaking with Dr. Giles Gittery?
Yes, that's me. Who is this?
You live at 1951 Laborde Street?
Yes?
Well, thank you, sir. My name is Emmanuel Parsons. I work for Anik Norris's Technologies. I'm the legal counsel here. I've been authorized to contact you on behalf of my employer to...
Giles sat down into his chair, the remainder of Emmanuel's sentence being lost to the ether. Anna saw the look on his face and whispered,
What?
He waved a shaking hand at her and said, I'm sorry, Mr. Parsons. Would you please repeat that? Bad connection.
Oh, yes, of course. As I was saying, we would like to contract your services as an outside consultant. I don't think I need to mention the obvious fact that you've become something of a name in a field of interest aligning with our own, do I? We have something of a project we've been working for a while now, you see, and our management believes we're now at a point where it makes sense to invite scrutiny from other respected members of the community.
Giles nodded.
Dr. Gittery, are you still there, sir?
Yes, yes, I'm sorry. Blasted connection. Giles will do fine, by the way.
Giles?
Anna whispered. Eyes wide and disbelieving, he shook his head at her and giggled.
I'm sorry, sir, did you say something?
No, sorry. Might I ask the nature of this project? He immediately wanted to kick himself. What an idiotic question.
Unfortunately, sir, I cannot. Such details will be shared, obviously, but we must first see to the standard necessities. We have a few forms to sign, the usual round of NDAs.
When do you expect this all to occur?
We would like to fly you out tonight, sir.
He deflated on the spot.
Oh. Oh, dear, that's not going to be possible, Mr. Parsons. I'm terribly sorry. Believe me, you have no idea how sorry I am, but I'm in the middle of a major release at my own company. There's a huge rollout next month, and there's still so much to prepare. I couldn't possibly get away right now.
Ah, yes, the new voice upgrade, isn't it? Fascinating stuff, Doctor. I've been reading about it in the news.
Giles, please.
Very well.
At any rate, we'd anticipated that such might be the case. I hope you don't mind.
And then there's also the fact that it could be construed as a conflict of interest, Giles said.
Oh? How so?
Well, the overlap between our two companies? It seems a bit, you know.
He heard a vocal crackle over the signal that sounded suspiciously like a stifled laugh.
I really don't think it will be a problem, Giles.
Yes, well, even so, Mr. Parsons, I'm afraid I have to decline at this time. Again, very painfully so.
Is there any chance at all that this could be pushed out a few months? If the legalities can be satisfied, I would very much love to come out. Very much so.
I am afraid not, sir. We are on the timeline, after all.
Giles hung his head and sighed quietly.
I understand. Please deliver my profound regrets as well as my gratitude for being considered.
Look, Doctor, Giles, the voice said. It was warm and kind, but there was still that laughter behind it.
There is a bit of time. Think it over, if you please, and if you change your mind, call me back at this number, okay?
Yes, of course, Giles said, slightly nauseous.
I'll do that.
Thank you.
Good day, Giles.
Goodbye.
He set the phone down on the sink, sighed, and propped his chin on his knuckles. He stared at the black TV screen and shook his head.
Baby, what is it? Anna asked.
She took his hand and scooted closer. She was beginning to worry. Giles opened his mouth to answer, but the phone rang again. He looked at the number and grunted. It was Reggie Josephson, the director of his department at work.
Hey, Reggie. Did they call you yet?
Did they?
Who? Anik Norris's. Did they call yet?
Holy sh- Well, yes, I just got off the phone with them. Reggie, what's this about?
It's been arranged for you to go contract with them for an undefined period of time.
Undefined? Reggie, what on earth?
Relax, Giles. It's open-ended, so we'll bill it to admin travel and R&D. Take as much time as you need.
Annalise was now standing. He saw his own reflection in the TV across the room and understood why. He took a deep breath to calm himself, then rested a hand on her shoulder. He nodded slowly at her, and she sank back into her chair. He took another heavy breath and said,
"Who'll see to the voice rollout while I'm gone?"
"It's not a problem, Giles. I'll handle it personally in your absence. Besides, it's not like I can't call you if we get into trouble, right?"
Giles shook his head slowly. The director taking an active hand in a feature rollout? Did such a thing actually happen?
Reggie, what? Well, how is this even?
Let's leave it at that. I can't really discuss any details until you read through and sign all the NDA paperwork that the rest of us have already adopted. The most I can tell you at this time is, well, there'll be a big damned company picnic in your honor at some point, I should think. And? Well, that's as much as I can say on the topic for now, I suppose. Outside of noting that you're on loan to Anagnorisis until you wrap up, those things they'd like your input on.
Okay. Okay, Giles said. His voice quivered, and he took a moment to clear his throat.
I'll look into arranging a flight.
No worries, Reggie interrupted.
I have booked you on an afternoon flight. I have taken the liberty, of reserving 2 tickets for you. Just in case, you know.
You're kidding.
Well, your anniversary is coming up, Giles. We don't know how long you'll be out there yet. And, so I'm well aware you guys never got your first honeymoon, what with work and all. I thought maybe this could be like a second first honeymoon or something. Might make this an easier sell with Anna.
You snake, Reggie, laughed Giles.
I know I am. But in the meantime, give her a kiss from me and pack your bags. If she can't go, it's no problem. I think we can refund the ticket. But get her to go, Giles. Get out and do something other than work, okay? Go have a little fun while you're out there.
I will, Reggie. He looked at his wife, a smile pulling along his face of its own will, muscles working outside of his intent. It was as though an impossible situation had worked out to the best possible outcome without the least bit of his effort, as it had.
Thank you, Reggie. Oh, no, his boss laughed. Thank you, good sir.
Giles hung up, set the phone on the counter, and laughed.
Okay, big guy, out with it, Anna demanded.
Grinning, he asked, How do you feel about New York?
She shrugged.
When?
Tonight.
Tonight?
Her voice had cut out before she could finish forming the word, and her chin bounced silently as she tried to get sound moving again.
Giles laughed, stood from his chair, and kissed her, lips tightened through a smile. He pulled back and thumbed at a smudge of lipstick at the corner of her lip. He realized he was still laughing, realized he could not stop.
What the hell? She asked. Baby, what's going on?
Anagnorisis Technologies wants me to come out and consult with them on some project they have going out there.
Her eyes widened considerably at this news.
You're kidding.
I'm not.
That last call was Reggie. It's all been arranged, and the company got me 2 plane tickets, baby. 2.
Come with me.
She scoffed and shook her head.
Giles, what about my class? I can't just leave.
He shook his head and began to bustle around the kitchen, putting various things away. He placed the toaster back into the cabinet and began to run the remainder of the scrambled eggs down the sink drain. He was still smiling, having given up all pretense of composure.
We need to get packing, dear, he giggled.
You're not even listening. What do I tell my students?
Well, you won't be able to.
You'll have to send them an email from the plane, I imagine.
Giles!
He stopped and looked at her. 2 hot points of color stood out on her cheeks. He gently set the last of the dishes into the sink and said,
Sorry.
I can't just dump them in the middle of the semester, okay? There's a certain responsibility there.
Well, what about your TA?
Brenda?
What about her?
He came around the edge of the sink and sat down in the chair next to hers. Taking her hands in his, he said,
You're a professor now, Anna. Don't you remember what it was like in school?
They don't teach a damned thing. The TA did all the work so the prof could spend all of his or her time getting published. This is how academia works.
Not in my class, she said in a flat voice.
Oh, you're not allowed to use Brenda in that fashion?
No, I mean not in my class, Giles. I remember how it was as well as you do, okay? I just don't want to do that.
Anna.
Giles.
Anna. Look, can't they read some dusty old English lit without you watching over them?
Dusty old, sorry
that came out wrong. She stood and moved to the other side of the kitchen, and he knew he had blundered horribly. I'm sorry, he repeated, and hung his head.
Look, my job might not seem that big or impressive to you, and maybe it's not, but it's important to me. You don't get to shit on my work just because it doesn't match.
He held up his hands in submission. I'm sorry, Anna, honestly, it's not what I meant at all.
What did you mean then?
He sighed. Honey, you never got to have your honeymoon, and I know what that meant to you. You tried to hide it from me, but I saw it. For one, the timing was awful as far as work was concerned, but even then we couldn't afford it. We can now, of course, but back then?
So much has happened in 2 years, Anna. They went by so fast I think we hardly even noticed them. And we can have it now, right now. If we wait until the timing is better, well, who the hell knows when that's going to be?
She had gone silent as he spoke. Her arms were crossed under her breasts, and she stared down at the floor, chewing at her lip. He thought he saw her nodding, but it was slight.
Look, it's open-ended, right? But it doesn't have to be open-ended for you. You don't have to stay out there the whole time with me. In fact, you might not have to fly out with me today, though I hope you will. I guess we'd just have to eat the price of the ticket, but you could be home in a week or a few days or, I don't know, whenever you need to be home.
He approached her carefully, sensing as he did that the danger had passed, that she would again allow his touch. He ran a finger down the bend of her shoulder and ducked his head low. Finally, she met his gaze.
Come with me, Anna. Tell them some sort of last-minute emergency came up. It's hardly a lie, is it?
Come to New York with me. Let's go somewhere, huh?
Maybe let's go have a honeymoon.
You'll just be working the whole time, she muttered.
I won't. I will not.
Yes, I'll be working while we're there, but the nights belong to you. You can get out and see museums, see the sights. In fact, you can go find all the wonderful things there are to see, and then take me back in the evening, being the cultured woman of experience to my novice cluelessness.
The way in which she chewed at her bottom lip changed subtly. He could see the corner pulling back, saw a dimple form just behind it. He had a notion she was coming around, and began to smile.
Annalise, please come with me.
Please, I'm useless without you. You know I can't be trusted on my own. I'd fall down a well or something.
She snorted softly and butted her forehead against his.
Pass me the phone, she smiled.